ராமாய ராமபத்ராய ராமச்சந்திராய வேதசே ரகுநாதாய நாதாய சீதாயே நம. Ayodhikan, chapter number 53, The Searcher of Hearts. The recitation begins now. When they had offered the evening prayers and had finished their supper, Rama turned to Lakshmana and said, "This is the first night we spend outside our kingdom all alone. Sumitra is not with us, grieve not thereat. Henceforth we should keep watch at nights, for we are responsible for the safety of Sita. Let us gather the grass and leaves hereabouts to make us a bed and pass the night anyhow." And Rama, accustomed all his life to take his repose in soft and rich beds, reclined his limbs on the leaves and bare ground. Said he to Lakshmana, "My dear boy, now the king suffers unusual grief and prays for sleep that will never come. But Kaikeyi is in the seventh heaven of joy. Her heart's wish is realized to the utmost. She may even dare to make away with our father so that the kingdom might vest in Bharata permanently. All helpless is he and sinking under the infirmities of old age. I am not by to wait on him. Slave to his passions, he is a helpless victim in the toils of Kaikeyi. Alas, what will become of him when I ponder upon the misfortunes that have befallen me and on our righteous father, enthroning love and passion in his heart, and utterly oblivious to other pursuits, virtue and wealth. I'm almost inclined to hold that pleasure holds a higher place in the aims of life than virtue or wealth. Lo, our wise parent, utmost folly cannot debase a man so much as to incite him to banish his dutiful and only son to the frightful forest, and all to win the fickle smile of a woman. Bharata will rule happily without a rival over the broad realm of Kosala, rich in wealth and corn, surrounded by his wife and children, kith and kin. Dasharatha, our aged sire, has one foot in the grave. I am put out of the way. And now Bharata is the undisputed monarch of these boundless domains. He who devotes himself solely to the pursuit of pleasure and neglects virtue and wealth will, like our father, suffer grievously. It seems to me that Kaikeyi came in our family but to torture Dasharatha to death, to drive me to the forest, and to secure the kingdom for her son Bharata. In the intoxication of her new-gotten power and wealth, Kaikeyi will spare Kaushalya and Sumitra no tortures for the crime of being related to me. There is a show of justice in Kaushalya's case, as she is my mother. But it is gross injustice and extremely atrocious that Sumitra should come in for a share of it. So I advise you not to lose any time. Go back to Ayodhya at daybreak. We have not come far. Sita and I will proceed to the forest of Dandaka. The helpless Kaushalya will surely find comfort and courage in your presence. Kaikeyi is up to anything. It is nothing to her if the world pours its hatred and contempt upon her. Nothing is too mean for her, nothing too atrocious. I would that you place my mother in charge of the virtuous Bharata. I believe that in her former births, Kaushalya ought to have torn mothers apart from their children. Else, I see no reason why she should suffer nameless torments torn from the side of her favorite child. She went through fire and water, as it were, to call me her son. She took a world of trouble in bringing me up to man's estate. Mothers begat children and tend them fondly and with care, only that they in turn should form the prop and stay of their old age. Now Kaushalya has labored in vain and has been cruelly deprived of the fruit thereof. Fie upon me. My life is barren of its purpose. I pray that no mother beget such an ungrateful son as myself. Lakshmana, the only return I make to my mother for all the trouble and care she has bestowed on me is the measureless grief and despair I have caused her. Better I were not born. Brother dear, do you remember a parrot that Mother Kaushalya used to rear so fondly? It used to often say, "Tear at the feet of yon cat, the relentless foe of your race." Kaushalya used to take great delight in those words of the bird. I am powerless to give her even that pleasure which the senseless bird is grateful enough to cause her. The hapless Kaushalya, consumed with grief, is barren, though the world calls her the fortunate mother of Kosala's heir. But how have I benefited her in the least? I have plunged her in an ocean of grief, shoreless and unfathomable. My anger is powerful enough to wrest this Kosala, nay, this broad earth, from the hands of man, god, or asura. My arrows will do it for me, but my dharma will suffer in observance if I put forth my might, forgetful of all other considerations. My hands are tied by my fear of the world's scorn. They will point its finger to me and cry, "Lo, Rama has put behind him dharma and is elected to walk in the path of the unrighteous, of the ungodly." I fear too that I might be denied a place in the bright worlds on high, else this very moment I can seat myself on the throne of the Ikshvakus. And Rama bewailed his lot and his powerlessness to avoid it. Burning tears of grief coursed down his cheeks, and a fit of gloomy silence came over him. When he had ended, like a fire that had burned itself out, or like the broad ocean after a storm, Lakshmana, who knew that Rama spoke these words solely to get him to go back to Ayodhya and not suffer in the forest with him, said to him, "Brother mine, best and foremost of heroes, it needs no saying that Ayodhya will be shorn of its luster, like a moonless night when you have denied it your bright presence. Oh, ideal prince, it is not meet that you grieve thus. You but wring the heart of Sita and myself. You bear a name that is significant of the perennial joy and delight that flows from you to all the worlds. Does it become you to make others grieve? You but deprive the fish of its life when you deprive it of the element which nature has placed it. Even so, you but deprive us of our lives the moment you deny us your sweet presence. This is my only reply to your commands to me to return to Ayodhya at daybreak. I care not in the least to enter paradise or to see Dasharatha, Shatrughna or Sumitra if you are not there with me." They composed themselves to sleep, and Rama was delighted to hear Lakshmana express himself so candidly and so lovingly. He decided to spend 14 years in the forest with Lakshmana and lead the life of hermits there. The mighty princes, though in the midst of cruel beasts that range the woods of night, were entire strangers to fear or apprehension in those lonely regions. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunabdeye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarvabhaumaya Mangalam.